Podcasting, is it a good thing or a bad thing? Should you be doing it? We're going to be talking about it today on Coach's Corner. Welcome to another edition of Coach's Corner, interviews that convert with my special guest today, Nicole Holland. Before we get started, I want to make sure to give you a nice little gift here. Go to my website, robertimbrialli.com/top 10, to download right now the Top 10 Marketing Mistakes ebook. This one is going to save you a lot of headaches and eventually going to save you a lot of money as well. robertimbrialli.com/top 10. All right, welcome back to another edition of Coach's Corner. We haven't done a podcast here in a little while, not because I didn't want to. Well, you know, all this COVID stuff kind of like derailed a lot of things here in business, and I'm sure for you as well. But things are settling down now. I think things are starting to bubble back up and coming back to what we would consider a more normal cadence. And I'm excited today to have a guest that I met very recently on social media. And one of the things people always talk about, you know, social media, you just go post stuff and you get, it's all about the likes and that kind of thing, right? But for me, it isn't. It's really about the relationships you build. And I've been following my guest, Nicole, today for about 2 years now. And it's really been interesting to watch her work and hear from some of her clients and see the things that she's doing. And we finally got a chance to connect about 2 weeks ago. And I invited her, hey, Nicole, you got to come on the show. I want to talk to you. I want to get to know you. I want to find out what you're doing. And your message is perfect for my audience of coaches, because coaches, of course, have a lot of content to share for the most part. And, you know, podcasting is a fabulous tool. And I thought it would be wonderful to bring her on to be able to share that with you. So we did the interview. It was actually a day ago. It was yesterday. And I got to tell you, there's a couple of points in there. I want you to pay close attention to it, because there's a couple of things she shared in there literally are million-dollar ideas. And one of them I even considered a $10 million idea. And it is certainly worthwhile paying attention to that. So I'm going to play the recording right now. And you're going to be able to watch that or hear that interview if you're listening to it. If you're watching it, you're going to be able to see the interview. Let me tell you a little bit about our guest today. Nicole Holland helps entrepreneurs and small to mid-market businesses generate revenue through podcasts. She's really an expert when it comes to podcasts, both, you know, creating your own podcast and also being a guest on other people's podcasts, which is a phenomenal way to build your brand, build your business, build your mailing list, and get the word out about who you are. And take notes, because there's some really, really, really good stuff. And I'll be back with you after it's done. Enjoy. All right, friends, we are here with my new friend. I'm so excited to have Nicole Holland with us. Nicole, so good to have you here. Thank you for joining us.
Robert, it's amazing to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
We have been chatting offline and realize we have so much in common that we could literally be on a chat for days and we wouldn't get tired. There's always something new to talk about. We have a lot in common, a lot of background, a lot of things we've done that are very similar. But one thing that we're going to talk about today is one thing we are both very passionate about, is this podcasting. And I get a lot of questions from people, Nicole, who are wondering, you know, is it too late to get involved with the world of podcasting? Because it's been going on now since, what, about 2004?
It is definitely not too late. I think we are really hitting an interesting point. We've been growing as an industry for quite some time. Podcasting now is an everyday term. You watch any movie, any TV show, they're talking about a podcast. This is something that just a couple of years ago, people were like, what's a podcast? I have no idea. Now it's a mainstream term. It's people know what a podcast is. If not having had a personal experience with podcasts, conceptually they understand it, whereas just a few years ago they didn't. So I definitely do not think it's too late. I think it's a great time to get involved, because I think that if you do wait, whenever it's perfect for you, it's perfect for you. But the medium is growing in very big ways. A lot of investment going into it. A lot of very famous people, movie and TV actors and actresses, in addition to all of the people, all of the gurus in all the other spaces, everybody's getting a podcast now. And so for folks like us, you know, Robert, you and I have been around for a while, and so we have followings. And the longer people wait, the harder it is to get heard over the noise. But I don't believe it's ever too late to do something you're drawn to.
Exactly. And not only is it growing, but I really believe that in the past, you know, the idea was you want to be successful, you want to be famous, you got to write a book, right? And I don't know that that's true anymore as much as is, you know, now it may be, you know what, if you want to be famous, you want to be successful, you got to have your own podcast. Who's reading? I don't read on my iPad. I don't read on my Kindle. It's just not comfortable. I'm not buying books anymore. I moved too many times to know how many boxes I had to carry of those heavy books. So I think our society has really changed. And honestly, I subscribe to more podcasts than I can possibly consume in a week, but they are beautiful in the car. I never listen to AM, FM radio anymore. It's like, I don't even know if I have one in my car. It's always podcasting. So from my perspective, and I agree with you 100%, not too late to get involved. And boy, oh boy, it is one of the smartest business moves a lot of people can make.
Absolutely. And I think that there is, personally, I still think there's value in writing a book. I mean, when we're talking about brand awareness, when we're talking about visibility, we're talking about authority building and leadership. I mean, overall, you know, before we hit record, Robert, you and I were talking quite a bit about leadership and right. Leaders need to lead. And how do leaders lead when there's so much noise out there? They have to stand out. And podcasting is one of the fastest, easiest, most powerful ways that you really can stand out. And when I say podcasting, I'm talking about the entire podcast industry or ecosystem, because there's so many options now. So something that, you know, as a podcaster, I started podcasting in 2016, in March 2016, but actually at the end of 2015, I started podcast guesting, as I call it, which is where I went on other people's podcasts as the expert. And definitely the space for podcasting and podcast guesting, everything's getting busy. But as long as you're going on and really you are a legit authority and you have a good strategy and a good solid plan and you have something of value to share, you absolutely can gain that quick credibility, quick attention. And I think things like blogs, things like books, things like all these other authority building assets definitely help. And just mentioning about blogs, I don't even remember. I can't even think right now of how many blogs there are, like 85 million. I don't know. It's crazy. But with podcasting, we have been growing, 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 especially since COVID happened. It's insane how many people have been starting podcasts. And right now, time of recording, we are over 1 million podcasts, not 1 million podcasts, 1 million, over 1 million valid podcasts in the Apple directory, which right now at time of recording is the leading directory, the largest directory of podcasts. And the valid means that these are podcasts that have been producing content actively.
Amazing. That is absolutely amazing. Yeah, you bring up a good point. The authority piece is really important. And what I always tell people, they'll come to me and they'll say, Rob, I don't have a mailing list, or my mailing list is not responsive, or it's too small, or whatever. And I say, great. You know, if you build a podcast, you still have to go out there and build a following. You still have to do that marketing. A lot of people, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. That's not my thing. I'm a doctor. I'm a professional. I'm an artist. I'm whatever. Great. I understand that. Then the other strategy is the strategy you brought up, is being a guest on other people's podcasts. In other words, leveraging existing audiences. It is the simplest way, most powerful way, fastest way to grow your following, because you can invite those people back to come to your website and sign up for your freebie. Not only that, Nicole, I saw you doing this on your website, is you have a list of all the places you've been a guest. You can go on there and you can say, well, I want to find out more about Nicole. Who is this woman? What does she stand for? And you can go, I can listen to podcasts here, podcasts there, every place you've been a guest. It's beautiful. What a great tool for building credibility.
Absolutely. And thank you for acknowledging that. Not only is that a powerful tool on my own website, but different podcasters have different marketing strategies, right? And so if you're really attuned to which shows you should be on and you have a strategy that you implement rather than just going, who wants to be a guest? I want to be a guest. I see this every day. In fact, I was just talking about it earlier today. These groups are everywhere. These booking people are everywhere. They are there. Please just, I don't know if you want to get into that, but if you are a leader, if you're a business owner, you have to have a strategic plan or you are wasting your valuable resources. Time is not replaceable. So when you are able to go on podcasts that are very intentional and you know why you're on there and you know what the value is that you're bringing and you know what, you know, what that outcome is going to be, you can choose podcasts that are established and that they are putting money behind their marketing. And then you've got ranking, these podcasts that are ranking in Google, guess what? You now are there. You are there as an expert. You can also make these great connections. I mean, Robert, you invited me to be a guest on your podcast. We didn't know each other before, and it was a way for you and I to get to know each other. So you can, with podcasts, guesting or podcasts, you can meet people who you otherwise would not be meeting. You can build relationships, you know, and here I'm on your podcast. We've built this relationship already, this little spark, and I've already invited you to be on my podcast. So there's just so many cool things that can happen from podcast guesting, from having a podcast, that have these massive ripple effects on your business.
Let's also clarify, because a lot of people think, oh, you podcasters, you all get on each other's shows. It's a small club and it's a click, you know, and it's like, I don't want to be part of that cult, but it's not that at all. It's that we genuinely, I don't know about you, I'm sure it's the same for you. We genuinely enjoy meeting new people, learning new things. Honestly, I sit back when I have a guest on and I will take notes and I will listen to you and listen to what you have to say. And I will take notes and learn from you. And there's no greater joy than that. But that's not going to make you money. That's not going to change the world, right? Changing the world is we want to get in front of enough audience. And people will ask me, it's like, should I get on a podcast? They only have like 100 downloads a week. What do you think? What would you say to that?
How do you know? First of all, if they're only having, how the hell do you know how many downloads a week they have? They said it? Well, I got something to sell you. So first of all, that's silly. If they need to know their audience, like I could go on for days about this, so I'm not going to get too far into it. But when you're searching for podcasts to go on, you need to know what your value is and you need to know who your audience of buyers is, and you need to go find out where they're hanging out. And if there is a niche podcast or a podcast that there's resonance between you and the host and the audience, the host knows their audience. So here's the thing. If people are only getting 100 downloads a week, they probably don't have your audience because they probably don't know who their audience is and they're not doing the marketing. It's probably their mom and dad and maybe a few other people. When you know what shows to get on, you can go after those shows. So are they a small show, but actually know that they get 100 human beings downloading and listening each week? Well, for 30 minutes of your time, 40 minutes of your time, would it be worth it to you to have two or three people listen to what you have to say? For me, absolutely. I mean, I offer high ticket sales things. I'm not looking to reach 1 million people. I don't want to work with 1 million people. I want to work with just the few people that are right for me. And so when I hear this question myself, I send it back to the asker and ask them, why are you asking that? Why does that matter to you? What do you know about downloads? We have, you know, again, Robert, before we started recording, we were talking about the state of the world and all the media and all the messaging. And it's like, stop listening to people who are talking about things that have nothing to do with you. You're an individual. And if you want to listen to the people who are churning out things that are like a mill and they're telling you this one size fits all solution, as business owners, we already know they don't work, right? We have to we have to do the heavy lifting. We have to do the investigation. We have to know our stuff before any marketing strategy will work. So yeah, I don't know if that answers it, but that's how I feel about it.
Okay. I have something to add to that, because I think you're absolutely right on that. And I would suggest that if you're new to being a guest on a podcast, somebody who's getting 100 downloads or less might still be a great opportunity for you, because it'll give you an opportunity to practice. Now, the other thing about it is the most important person on that podcast is the host. You want to make sure that you're wowing them and giving them good information, information they can understand, and it's actionable. Now, if there are only 100 people downloading it, you might say, well, that audience is too small. I don't really care about that. I've done those podcasts and I've gotten business from it. I've signed up coaching clients from it. And you might say, well, you know, you don't need thousands. But if I thought about it in a physical sense, would I want to go into a room where there are 100 people sitting in seats? Of course I would. Of course. Right? So that's the way, you know, you got to look at it, and don't be too judgmental. In fact, I never ask anymore how many listeners or how many downloads a podcast has. I don't care. I don't care if you got 5. I don't care if you got 50. I don't care if you got 50,000. I'll know it by what comes in the back end, right?
Right. And you know what I think too, by the resonance, whether it's a right fit or not, because it's not always about the download. So yesterday I interviewed a woman for my podcast and loved her, and just getting to know her, I immediately thought of another podcast who I think she'd be great on. And I thought she would really get on well with the host. And I thought that host could really use this guest as a coach, right? Like, I thought this is the right person for this person to know. And I said, can I make that introduction? So sometimes with my clients, you know, I have a service and I work with clients both in teaching, consulting, and also done for you services. So we really target shows for specific reasons. And some of my clients, you know, will target a show that has absolutely nothing to do with the audience because we want that connection between the host and the guest, because that's where the business is, or that's where the opportunity lies. And oftentimes it is in the audience. And something that you mentioned, if I can kind of plug myself a little bit.
Always. We want to hear so much about you.
So one of the things that I do with clients, done for you, done with you, is I don't put people on shows until they've gone through my training. I call it interviews that convert. And it's a framework because, as you said, the host is the most important. I agree and I kind of disagree a little bit, because I think that there's multiple most important people involved. And unless all of them are satisfied and it's not a win-win-win, it doesn't work. But as long as it's a win-win-win, that's great. So there's the host. But what does the host care about? They care about their audience. So if the audience is not being served, and if the host doesn't care about their audience, they're not, in my opinion, the right host. But the host cares about their audience. So you have to be able to bring value to the audience through the lenses of the host, and you're bringing value to the host. And there has to be value for you too, because if there's not, then it's not a fit. So yeah, like within that training, what we do is we really focus on how do you have the biggest impact to provide the most value with the least amount of resources to the host, to the audience, and to yourself. There's an art to it.
Do you know? You just gave the $1 million strategy. You didn't know that.
I actually missed that second word. What about
the strategy? You gave out $1 million strategy here.
I do know that. I've seen that. That's what I do for my clients. You know, one of my clients, they were a bootstrapped company, a SaaS platform. They never, ever, ever were going to sell. They were just acquired by a very big, they got an offer they absolutely couldn't refuse. We put them on, I think by the time the acquisition went through, I think they had been on over 20 podcasts, very strategically. And one of the pieces to that strategy that we used was connecting them, putting them on shows where the host would actually be, they were doing affiliate, the host also did affiliate marketing. The host would fall in love with the product and would want to share it. I had another client too, where we would arrange before the interview to say, hey, would you love to have a pro account to experience this product for yourself? And of course the hosts wanted it because we targeted those hosts. We knew who we were looking for. So it was so cool because this particular client that I'm speaking of now, they have a video. They do video creation. And so there were a number of hosts who prior to interviewing my clients had already played with it and made marketing videos themselves. So do you think that when those hosts came on as guests, they were positioned properly when the host was raving about the product before even introducing the host to the audience?
Okay. $10 million strategy, because you turn the host into an advocate.
Absolutely. Because if you're not, then here's an example, Robert. So like, this is what happens usually on most podcasts. A person says, I need guests. So first of all, if a host needs guests, that's a red flag, in my opinion.
Right.
Hosts who have established shows never need guests. They pick and choose who they want. If they are sitting there saying, and I see this all the time on social media, I need guests for my podcast. Red flag. Red flag.
No, thank you.
What's that?
No, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, it may be for somebody, right? But for me and for my clients, and I think we're similar in our audiences, Robert. So for me, it's just a no-go. So hosts don't need guests in general. I forget now where I was going with this. What did I even just say? I was like,
well, when you're looking at the quality of a show, it's like, that's right. You know, if a podcaster is having a successful show, the guests advocate are hanging on their door all day long, every day. And in fact, it gets to be overwhelming if you're a podcast host with a great show, because it's like, you got to sort through all these requests. And who are the good ones? Who are the bad ones? And then I hire somebody like you to say, okay, Nicole, only feed me the good ones. You know?
Thank you. Yes. And what I was trying to get at was the advocacy. So if you listen to most podcasts, they bring on a guest, they ask an answer, they do an interview, value is dropped, bye-bye. Okay. But have you ever listened to a podcast where you tune in and the energy and the vibe is so high, probably like this one, because the host already knows the guest. They've already had a positive experience with the guest. They're not a fan of the guest. That happens a lot. Podcasters will have like mentors on, people who right. are there like, oh. So there's that energy, right? It's not equal. And then there's podcasts where there's like no connection and there's no resonance. And it's just like ask, answer, here's a person, blah, 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 blah. But when you tune into those shows and the host that you're used to listening to has somebody they adore or they respect or they love on, you can feel that vibe. You hear it. You're leaning in. We always want to create that before the interview.
Interviews are boring for the most part. Because it's exactly that. It's like you have a lot of guests that won't come on, or they'll give you, here are the five questions I want you to ask me. Yeah, I interviewed Dan Kennedy a couple of times, and that's what his organization did. Is they gave me, here are the five questions Dan wants you to ask. And the reason was because he was going to sell a book and that kind of thing. And I said, okay, I'll ask these questions, but I'm going to add some questions to it. And they were like, okay, you can go ahead and do that. You know, just sort of keep them online. It was like, and the interview that I did, everyone said this was the best interview Dan Kennedy ever did, because I added more to it. I didn't just, okay, question number one, Dan, when did you write this book? And, you know, we've spoken during it.
You know, like, you knew like, who he was.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was so much more fun because I never got to meet him in person at that time. And it was an opportunity really to get to know him. And I interviewed him, had 1,500 people listening to the interview. And it was the most fun that I ever did. And, you know, you really have to have that energy in there. As a host and as the guest, yeah, we know the guests are going to be nervous. We know that, right? So I always love to take a little time before we do the interview to kind of get to know them, have some conversation. You and I are just like, it's like we've known each other our entire lives. So it's a little bit different for us, but you know, it's like that.
But no, but the thing is, Robert, you knew it's like the fact that you told me, so there were some really, can I dissect what happened before our interview? Yes. Mm-hmm. So you and I had not previously met. Right. You reached out to me apparently a number of times and didn't get through my gates. And then finally you did. And I told you why. It was because I got this like new tool that's helping me to get through all of the thousands of friend requests. And so I have this automation tool that sends out a little a message to the people who send me friend requests. And then
it basically says, why do you want to be my friend?
Yeah. And then those people who write back actually get me responding. And you wrote back.
Yeah.
And so I liked our interaction. We both are very similar in our relationship building, I think. So we had a good e-conversation. You invited me onto the show. I agreed. I took more interest in you. You took interest in me. Then I get on the show. And as you were just saying, you have a part of your workflow is to have a little dialogue with the guest beforehand. You did it brilliantly, in my opinion. And one of the things that you said, which people don't say, is I've wanted you on my podcast for the past 2 years. And I went, what? Whoa. Now, I know that was sincere, right? And I think people can tell if something's sincere or not, but I know that you're sincere. Even if it wasn't 2 years, you knew who I was before. I didn't have to ask you in my message, would you like to have me as a guest? Or why do you want to be, you know, why do you want to know me? The fact that you told me that was, for me, self-affirming, and it made me feel more powerful. That's huge. Yeah. Another thing that you did was we talked about things, we just talked and connected, and you reflected back to me some things and you shared with me some things. And it was exactly like that. Like we've known each other for years. So when you started recording, it was like we were in the middle of a conversation. A lot of podcasters, they say, well, I've got stuff to do, so I don't want to take that much time. Great. Don't take that much time, but you know what? You're not going to have the results and the experience. Right. So for you, you ask for 90 minutes for your interviews. And that is a lot. That is a lot for most people. And I've seen a lot of people refuse to do that. Now with my clients, I will not put them on a 90-minute interview unless I know why we're putting them on. Yeah. So we put them on 90-minute interviews. And sometimes at the beginning, people say 90 minutes. It's like, yes, but you have this opportunity then to create connection, create value. And when you get on the podcast, the loyal listeners trust you because now I'm borrowing your authority. Nobody's heard of me before, but you are positioning me as somebody you trust. And that's huge. And I just wanted to point those things out.
You are a beautiful soul. I'm so appreciative of having you here today. And of course, I'm blushing because all the things you're saying is kind things. I'm like, oh, wow, I need more of that. But it is very true. And I take the 90 minutes, and it is a preframe for me that the interviews are never 90 minutes. They're 30, 40, 50, 60 minutes, whatever. And I really want to have that connection ahead of time. So it's like, yes, I have been watching your videos. Yes, I have seen you. Probably because I'm in some groups that you're in and some groups that you've posted. I've been seeing your posts for a long time on Facebook. So I knew who you were. I knew what you stand for. I knew you were authentic. I knew you'd be a lot of fun. I knew your love, your passion about podcasts. I know you coach people on podcasting. So I had all this coming into it. And it was just a matter of, okay, let's make the connection. Tried it, didn't work. No response, no answer. Tried it again a few months later. It didn't work. And then finally, it got through. I'm like, you know, this was worthwhile. I wasn't disappointed. I was like, this is worthwhile because sometimes the people that are hardest to reach bring the most benefit. So again, you know, we're both the kind of people, we don't give up. We've got this persistence part of us that, you know, there's no point in stopping. I'll stop when I'm dead. though. Plenty of time then, but you know, until then I'm going. And I just keep at it. And it really makes a big difference, not only in your business, but also in your life. And I tell my clients, it's like, you know, you have to be able to not take the punches and feel like, oh, this is the end. It's not, it's a punch. The wound will heal, you'll move on, you know.
And now so, you know how to block that.
Yeah. Yeah. We get better at it. We certainly get better out of it. So as a podcast host, you are going to have failures. We, to be honest, we had a little technical glitch as we got started here. I was going to use a different system and it failed. It didn't work. I tested it literally 10 minutes before I connected with Nicole. Worked fine. We connect with Nicole. It doesn't work. Okay. Mercury's retro. Got it. You know, there's something going on here. You know, but you're going to have those things and you can't let it get in the way. People often ask when it comes to podcasting about the technology. That's the big conversation. I need to know about the technology. And here's my answer. And I'm going to have you answer this question too, because I want you, maybe you answer it first and then I'll give you my feeling, because I think we're on the same page with this.
I want to hear yours first because okay. I keep taking the stage.
You keep taking this. You can have the stage. It's okay. So I tell people that if technology gets in the way, it's a problem. Technology needs to be transparent for you. So whatever that looks like, well, what's the best microphone? Whichever one you're happiest with. What's the best mixer? Don't use a mixer if it's complicated. You use a USB mic. Make it as simple as possible as you can handle. I'm in a studio. This is the control room area. Behind the glass is actually the real studio. I've got a ton of gear in here, right? Because it's my passion. It's what I love to do. So for me, it can be a little bit more complex and it's going to fail from time to time. And I don't get upset about it. It's like roll with the punch, right? All right, that didn't work. Look, my backup is we go to Zoom and we do it on Zoom. No big deal. So that's the thinking that I have. I can give you a list of technology and microphones and mixers and all the kind of things that I use and like to use. It may not work for you. If it gets in the way, it's the wrong thing. It's the wrong answer. There is no one size fits all. Your turn.
Completely agree. Yeah, I completely agree. There is one thing that I am a stickler for, and this matters to me. Everybody's different, and I've had pushback on this. In fact, in the last 2 days, I had 6 interviews scheduled. 4 of them actually were recorded. 2 of them did not show up with the technical requirements I required. And so we still had great conversations, but they're I told them I'm not recording, like we're not putting them out. So that's something to be aware of, that if you're podcast guesting, know what the expectations of the podcast host are, because these two people, both of them, I have a relationship with and I'm happy to reschedule. Most people I will not reschedule with, because that is, I do my preparation. Right. I'm prepared. And not only that, I am very meticulous about sending out, like you are, all sorts of valuable information and my expectations. And if they haven't taken the time to read it and be prepared, to me, that's disrespectful. And so it's just not something that's cool, right? So for me, I think there's 2 things actually. Number one, you have to have a solid internet connection. If you're on data or something like that, you just don't care enough, right? You might think, well, I care, but I've got all these things. That's your life. Those are your problems. Those are your issues. If you are scheduling something with me, you need to go find yourself a solid place to record from. I have a little bit of, you know, flexibility when it comes to somebody who's overseas, which is one of the cases yesterday. But otherwise, don't just show up and say, oh, well, you know, I don't have that available. Like, really? You're about to reach thousands of people through this 30 minutes we're going to spend together and you don't.
And so, you're trying to do with AirPods, right?
That's my second thing. So the other thing is you want to keep it simple, and I agree. And I have a mixer and I have a fancy mic and I've got all kinds of stuff. But right now, you know what I'm using? If you're looking, if you happen to see the video, you would have seen that. If not, I'll tell you, I have what's an ATR 2100, Audio Technica 2100. They actually have a new version now. It's about a $99 mic. I literally have 5 of these. I've got one in the car. I keep one in my purse. They're light. They're easy to travel with. I mean, they're cheap and they're ridiculous, but the sound is good. It's solid and it has the fancy cord, but it also has a USB. So literally this is just plugged into my computer. You're getting the best sound I can give you because I'm on a solid internet connection. The rest of it, all that's gravy. So yeah, I agree with you. Keep it simple. The easiest, most comfortable thing for you to do, if you love all those gadgets, great. Get all the gadgets. And as far as the technology, I find that oftentimes the web-based, and maybe it's just me, but the web-based recording devices, I've had a number of interviews where it hasn't worked and we've had to go to Zoom. But the fact that we can go to Zoom is great. Zoom, Skype, all different kinds of recording ways. You know, you find something that works for you, and then you find a second something that works for you, maybe even a third something that works for you, because technology can fail. But when you have a backup plan, not only are you seen as, wow, this person is like an expert, even though it's really simple once you get to know what to do, people respect you. Yep. And also you're like, you never have to say, oh, let's do this another time, because you have no idea what your counterpart had to give up in order to choose to be with you.
The other thing about sound is more important than, we're doing video here and we're also going to do an audio version of the podcast. So there's actually both versions of it, but the audio is the most important. Now you're an expert, you're strong, you're powerful, you're a leader in your market. And then you say, well, I'm just going to use, you know, the little white headphones that came with my iPhone on the interview. Do you know what happens? You sound like a mouse. You sound like a mouse and you have no power, no matter how powerful your conversation is. When you sound like a mouse, people don't respect you. You can't allow that. You've got to come up. And your microphone, by the way, sounds great. You know, and that's why we spend the money on the microphones, because we know the audio is the most important part. That proximity effect that we talk about is so critical. It's like, if I'm talking back here, hey, Nicole, how are you? Right? I'm a lot weaker. But that's what it sounds like on an AirPod. But if I come close, hey, Nicole, how are you? Right? All of a sudden, it's like, wow, it's like he's right here, right in my ear. I love it. And that is, you can't dismiss that as something that's just like, oh, it's just you audio people. No, it's psychological. It's how we respond to what we hear.
Yeah. And so I've got somebody right now who was referred to me. She's got a podcast. It's got a lot of great names on it. And she is a very successful business owner. And her coach wanted me to talk with her because she said, you know, she doesn't understand why she's not getting consistent listeners and she's not getting any leads from her podcast. And I said, sure, you know, this is what it is. I do a podcast RX. I also do an interview RX where I basically do, it's kind of like going to the emergency room. Here's the problem. What's going on? And I do a quick assessment and give feedback. And just because I like to know who I'm going to get on a call with before I get on a call, I went and just checked her things out. And immediately, I can tell you, you know, I can tell you, I'm not going to tell her, but she can pay me the big bucks. But I mean, right off the bat, I don't even have to go into more. I will for the audit and there's more to it. But right off the bat, her audio is terrible. And when we're listening to podcasts, we're listening oftentimes in our ears. Yes, sometimes we listen on speakers, but most people have earbuds in their ears and they're listening. And if your sound is going because it's scratching your ear, your dangly earphone thing is scratching your hair or your earring or your shirt or whatever, or you're getting cracked, it's like people will not listen. Also, there's something to that, and I'm just going to get a little techie and silly here for a minute, but in the editing, one of the absolute first things I believe should be done, and Robert, you may have a different opinion, and I'm open to it, but one of the first things that I tell my team is remove the background sound. It takes literally a second and a half to remove background sound from an audio track. And if you're not doing that and you're putting out a podcast that has all this background sound in it, it makes you sound even worse. It makes your guests sound even worse. So whether you are a podcaster or a podcast guest, showing up to an audio interview, whether it's video or not, whatever, you're recording audio, showing up to an interview with the very best audio you can have is going to benefit you. Because even if the host sounds poor, which frankly, if they've got a poor sounding show, they're probably not keeping an audience or growing an audience.
You and I know that. We'll open up a podcast and we'll subscribe to a podcast and we'll listen to one episode and I'm gone in like less than a minute. If the audio is bad, I cannot listen to it.
And I have to do it as part of what I do because I am vetting shows. And so I'm listening. And again, sometimes our strategy, depending on my client, isn't about the audience. Because if it's, hey, you know, I had a client too who wanted to get on a particular stage. They had submitted for years. They had even been a sponsor, never got on the stage. Hey, guess what? We can get you on the podcast with the person who's a decision maker of that show. How about we build a relationship, right? So we have different ways to, you know, different reasons for getting guests on different podcasts. But yeah, if an audience, if the show has a bad sound, then there's a good chance they don't have a good audience.
No question. I know that your time is limited today. And I also know that I could stay here for days talking to you. So we should wrap it up a little bit. And but before we do that, I want to make sure that you get an opportunity to tell people where they can find you, what you have to offer, what you'd like to let people know that is available, how people can work with you, you know, and that kind of thing, because you're brilliant. And I feel so blessed today to have you as a guest on here. I just like, this is a great, great, great opportunity. It's worth the wait. You're worth the wait.
Thank you so much. And I appreciate so much this opportunity. It's been fun. It's always fun to geek out about things that I'm passionate about with people who are also passionate about it. I'm not everybody's cup of tea. I'm obviously pretty in your face and I have strong opinions, but if those opinions resonate with you and you're listening and you're like, hey, I need to talk to this chick and I want to help have her help getting me on podcasts or directing me how to get on podcasts. You know, like I said before, we do both done for you, done with you, consulting, the whole gamut. I've got my Interview RX and my Podcast RX little mini bite, which is where I go in and just do a quick audit. You get me, not some other person working for me. I actually do the work and I give you the report. And then podcast guesting as well. You know, I do training on how to convert listeners to leads, hosts into raving fans. Everything that we do for our done for you clients. I also help people if they have their own teams and you want to implement it in-house, I train that up. Or if you are a thought leader and you just want to learn to do what to do, learn how we do what we do for our larger clients, then we do that too. Right now, honestly, my website's in transition. It's always in transition if I'm not lying. So
any
I don't
good
have a
website
very...
always is, by the way. It's normal.
So it's kind of like cobbler shoes. Like when I focus on other people's stuff, it's way more fun than focusing on my own. So honestly, the best way to reach me is reach out and send me a message. If you send me a message on Facebook, then I will see it. And if it's not something like, hey, babe, or like what you look like, then I'll probably respond. So send me a message. Let me know you heard me on the show. Let me know why you're reaching out, what you would like help with. And I'd be more than happy to engage with you. And if it makes sense for us both, we can schedule a call and just get to know each other. Because at the end of the day, my business is all about relationships, helping leaders lead. And I don't have time for all of the nonsense of all the other ways to do it. So you can do that on social media, or if you want to email me directly, it's Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E, at interviewsthatconvert.com. Again, tell me why you're writing me or you won't get a response, and don't put me on your email list. And what else? Oh, if you want to give me a call, the number is 218 area code get seen. GETSEEN.
I love that vanity number. That is awesome.
Thank you.
So your website is interviewsthatconnect.com, but it's not
convert, that. Convert.
Interviewsthatconvert.com. I apologize.
No worries.
Oh, boy, got to make that mistake. I'm scribbling here too fast. That's what the problem is. Interviewsthatconvert.com. And Nicole at interviewsthatconvert.com is the way to reach you. Reach you on Facebook. Are you on any other social? You're probably on everything.
I'm on all the socials.
Yeah.
Yeah, just look me up. You can Google Nicole Holland or Google Nicole Hall. I mean, I'm the Nicole Holland on Facebook and Instagram. And, I'm the Nicole Holland's my business page on, like, honestly, if what's been resonating here today serves you and you want to have a real conversation, a serious conversation, don't even bother with my business page. Just find me on social media, send me a private message. I gave you, which honestly, Robert, I never give out my personal email address. In fact, I think it's the first time I may have ever done it on a podcast. So I might be kicking myself after, but that is my direct email address. It's not going to a VA or to an inbox or whatever. It's coming directly to me. So hopefully nobody abuses that. So, but yeah. That's the best
and,
way.
You know, the truth of the matter is if you like what you hear, and I certainly do, and Nicole is certainly, she's been doing this for a while. And like I said, I've been following her for years, at least 2 years that I'm aware of, and seeing her stuff and been blown away by it. Just like so amazed at the work that she does and the fact that she's real. She's very authentic. She's very transparent and honest. And you'll hear that from people she's worked with as well. You read some of the testimonials and you'll hear some of the people that talk about her and they always have great things to say. And now today, I absolutely know why, you know? And so if you really want to work with her, what I would encourage you to do is you will find her and it may not be easy, but maybe that's part of the challenge. You want to really find the people who are really serious about working with you. You put up a few gates in the way, put up a few obstacles and see if they jump through those hoops. And it's been a bit of a great strategy in a way to filter out the tire kickers, if you will. I'm just kind of interested. Want to see what you got. Okay, go to the website.
And I get that. And it's like, I'm kind of done with that. I've been done with it. And so I've ebbed and flowed, you know, where I'll, you know, be on social and I'll respond. And then I'm like, I feel like, oh, I really want to help these people. But then I know these are not my people. Like they're lovely people. They're wonderful people. I used to be that person who was in that, you know, starting space and wanting space. And I love you. If that's you, congratulations. Definitely listen to my podcast. Follow me. But, you know, honestly, I work with folks who are at least generating at very minimally over six figures, at least six figures in annual revenue. If you're not, like, blessings, and there are so many people who can help you, but not me. So most of my clients are doing multiple six figures and up to nine figures in revenue. So it just, again, we have different levels of working together. And yeah.
Nicole's the real deal, folks. Thank you so much, Nicole, for being with us today.
Thank you.
And there you have it. There's Nicole. It was awesome to have her as a guest on the podcast today. And I hope you enjoyed that presentation as well. She's quite amazing. Interviewsthatconvert.com is where you want to go. That's her website. A website in transition, but there's still a lot of good content there. And you can find out everything you need to know about her. Now, for those of you watching, I want you to do one thing. I want to make sure that you are subscribed to the podcast on whichever podcatcher you prefer. Do that. And also, if you like it, please share it with your friends and followers because good to share the word, good to share good stuff. And people will always appreciate you when you give them good quality content. Thanks so much for watching. We'll see you again real soon.